Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. Welcome to Living From Within. I'm Ethel.
And I'm Ruby. And I'd like to just say thank you for joining us this fine Sunday evening.
And let's just see, you know, we're waiting for Dr. Michael Rice to call in.
And when he calls in, we'll be able to switch to listen to him. But in the meantime, I'd like to give a bit of an intro for Dr. Rice. Dr. Michael Rice is the founder and director of Heartland, a self-healing center in the Ozark Mountains. He is a world-renowned lecturer and teacher on health and healing with doctorates in naturopathic medicine and in holistic philosophy. The focus of his studies has combined body-mind principles, physics, and ancient Aramaic studies into a unique body of pioneering work in the fields of self-healing, healing through relationships, anger and grief resolution, world peace, and the inner process of forgiveness.
So while we're waiting for Michael to call in, we're just kind of monitoring the switchboard. But fortunately, we have an advantage here because I am a huge fan of Dr. Michael Rice. Now, that does not even imply that I would be able to do his show as well as he does, but we can talk about some of the ideas that he is talking about. Michael is about forgiveness. We're checking this poll 1 second. We're checking. Okay. We don't see the numbers just yet. But when he does call in, we will certainly switch over to Michael. But anyway, we're just going to talk about forgiveness because this is kind of the focus of what this show is about. I'll take this opportunity, first of all, to say I'm Ethel Jackson. This is Ruby Swift. We want to give you our email address. It's livingfromwithin2@yahoo.com. I'm also an author of the book, Male and Female Sexuality, Bridging the Pleasure Gap, available on Amazon.com. Also available through livingfromwithin2@yahoo.com. Now, having said this, we'll let Ruby give her a little brief.
My name is Ruby Swift, and I work with early childhood education. It's an area that I feel really, really kind of passionate about. I'm understanding so many things about life and how it goes. And so for myself, having come to this place of understanding more about me and my how I fit in the scheme of it all, I'm really becoming more and more committed to having that happen as we interact with very young children. So I'm just glad to be able to talk about some of the things that I'm pretty interested in right now. So that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. So now let's kind of get back to what Michael Rice is big on. He talks a lot about forgiveness. And as I was about to say, our next week's show is going to be about forgiveness and the law of attraction. And the idea of forgiveness, I was talking to Ruby before the show started. It's like when we come in as children, we are just perfect beings. Our physiology is perfect, and that's what kind of what Michael talks about. We have this pure, positive energy as children, little children. Of course, we are happy. We expect to be fed, and we are. We expect to be cared for. We are. We expect to be loved. So we expect these things, and we get what comes into our life is according to what our expectations are. Do we have
I don't know, but I think we should check that out.
Okay. We're just going to check a call here.
Well, it's Michael Rice is trying to get connected, and we're not able to get on.
Okay.
So do you have another number,
Michael? Okay, the number that we have, the call-in number.
Oh, okay, I think we got it now.
Michael?
It says
call. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay.
I've dialed in 5 or 6 times tonight. I've been having trouble getting through.
I will certainly bring that to the attention of the powers that be. We apologize.
We didn't recognize the number. That's what it was, Michael.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, you're right about that. Hey, we excited. How are you?
Absolutely blessed. How about you?
Same here. And Ruby was just kind of reading your bio. I don't know if you were even able
Hopefully
to hear
Hopefully you
that.
Heard it.
I was listening, yes. But I was going, hello, but nobody was there.
Well, it's not because we don't love you here in Chicago, Michael. You know that.
Yes, yes, we do.
Okay, well, Ruby, you want to just...
Well, we're just really looking forward to having you on today. We get a chance to spend more time, so we know our audience is going to just get more of a good feel from you. We had some really good feedback from when you were on Sunday before last. So I know that they are joining in, and we're just going to turn it over to you.
And let me just say, Michael, so you just kind of do what you do, and if there's anything, you know, if you want us to stop for questions, I just tell the group, this is your show, so what you do, and we now give you Michael Rice.
Gee, well, that's a tall order.
But you can handle it.
Yeah.
I'm speechless. No.
No, we don't want you speechless.
You aren't likely to find me speechless.
No, exactly.
Okay, tell me exactly where you would like to see us end up. At the end of this show, what, Ethel, would you like to have people be able to say? And then I'll take it from there.
Okay, now, you know, that's a good one because the one thing I have gotten, and I was telling Ruby this, I understand projection, okay? And I understand that what we think we're seeing in other people, we're seeing it in ourselves. So we are forgiving the mind energy that created that thought. So this is what I'm really getting from you. And, you know, the more I listen, the more I get this. And it really makes me understand that I am in absolute control of my life. The other part of that, I understand the value of forgiveness in this. And just briefly, I was saying, as I understand this, you know, you have a child comes into the world, and it's just like, I mean, they are free, they are happy, and they expect to be fed, they expect to be loved and taken care of. Now, but after a while, and they feel that they are perfect, but after a while, some negative energy, I think some disintegrative energy, if I'm pronouncing that right, goes into the physiology. And when that just keeps happening, by the time we get to be adults, we just messed up. You know, like you were talking about in the purpose of your life. So now to make this short and sweet, the value of forgiveness, first of all, what forgiveness really is, because we have this old idea, he did me wrong, and I'm going to forgive him. That has nothing to do with forgiveness as I am understanding it. So I would really
you got it.
Want, okay, that's what I want people to know. Forgiveness is forgiving ourselves.
Well, actually, not quite, because
okay.
that still runs from the old model of, oh, okay, well, I won't let them off the hook. I'll just let myself off the hook.
Got it. Okay.
And you know, in this culture, we're taught, well, you know, you and I interacted, and you did this terrible thing that caused all this pain inside of me. And seeing as how you've caused all this pain inside of me, I'll be big about it, and I'll forgive you. I'll let you off the hook for this pain inside of me. Of course, if I'm in pain, if I've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, I'm the only one that was there every time, and I can play the game of letting them off the hook, all 42 of them, but it does nothing to address the pain that's inside of me, that's generated from me. And so forgiveness in the ancient Aramaic, you would never be invited to forgive yourself, you would never be invited to forgive another, you'd be handed a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove the very capacity to produce pain. So then let's, if that's the direction we're going to head, let's start out and look at that idea of projection.
Okay.
And to understand that adequately, we have to understand the difference between reality and actuality. And so let me use an example I use in my classes. I'll stand in front of them and I'll hold up a marker. How many people in the room see a marker in my hand? Of course, everybody puts their hand up. And I offer, well, you know, I'm going to conflict with you because I don't believe you see a marker in my hand. If you could actually see the marker that was in my hand, we could turn on all the lights, make the room totally dark, cover the windows, pardon me, and you'd still see the marker. However, if we cover the windows and turn out all the lights, the room's totally dark, the marker that you think you see in my hand is going to disappear. Why? Because you only, quote-unquote, see, because in that sense, because you have information carried into your eye by light. If there's no light, there's no information. And so the only thing that goes into your eye, a marker doesn't go into your eye. All that goes into your eye is information. And that information causes brain cells to fire in you that produce the marker that you see. So if we've got a room with 100 people in it, and I hold a marker up in the front of the room, there are 101 markers in the room. There's one in my hand, the actual marker, we'll call that actuality, and then there's one in each brain in the room. A reality is an image generated by the mind, internal to the mind, that is seen only by the individual generating it. Example, let's take our example a step further. Let's imagine that we have a young man in the room who's 40, who, when he was a little kid, had a mother that was a school teacher. And she was mean, and she was nasty. And she was in a school where they used markers, and she was a really good shot. And every time this kid turned his head the wrong way, her son, you know, did something she didn't like, bang, off would go that marker. She fired at him, several times catching him right in the eye and ending up in the hospital over it. But that was his experience and that was his life. Now, I guarantee that he has a marker in his mind when I hold up the marker in my hand, but it's not going to be the same marker as the young man who had a teacher who was an artist. Mom was an artist, and they loved art, and they just did wonderful things with these pastel markers and created all kinds of wonderful work in pastels. And here he is at the age of 40, and he's a fabulous, world-renowned artist. Mm-hmm. Now, he sees a marker, but is his marker the same as the marker as the kid whose mother used to whack him in the head every time he stepped out of line?
No.
Obviously not. So there's one marker in my hand, and just taking those two young men, each of them experiences a totally different marker, and especially has a totally different emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And that emotional experience comes from the content of each of their minds. So now let's take that forward, and let's imagine, Ethel, you and I interact, and let's imagine that you give me the look. Now, I have brain cells for the look, and boy, soon after I got the look when I was a kid, I got whacked in the head with a stick. Well, when you give me the look, that's going to fire certain brain cells in me. If I use that content to build the brain, my brain's image of you, my reality about you, then I will project my content, I'm about to get hit here, into my brain's image of you, and I'll think you're my attacker. Pardon me. Even though the look that you gave me was one of joy and delight at seeing me, mm-hmm. my projection, the image I create of you in my mind, the you that shows up in my mind isn't you at all. It's an image interior to my brain, generated by my brain, and unique only to me.
Can I interject?
Sure.
Okay, I won't keep interrupting. You know, it just...
Yeah, no.
Okay, it just reminds me of a conversation Ruby and I have. This is something that's really getting clear to me. Everybody, technically speaking, everybody is correct with their perception. You know, the young man who got whacked by the marker, his perception of that marker is correct, so to speak. The woman who had...
Not today. Not today. Not today. Okay. No. The woman who picks up the marker is the woman who was the artist who had wonderful experiences.
Wow.
He projects, uh-oh, I'm going to get a marker in the eye, and all the trauma he had with years with a traumatic mother into maybe this woman who is his wife, who's an artist, when she picks up a marker. No, he's not experiencing what's going on today. He's experiencing his reality, his past, and projecting it into today.
So
in our culture, projection is taught as taking something that's inside of you and putting it outside of you. That is not projection. That's externalization. Different thing. Projection is when I take something in me, especially what I don't like, and I can do this with wonderful things too. So, you know, I meet somebody and they fire brain cells in me for wonderful. They're actually a rotten thief, but the brain cells they fire in me are wonderful and loving, and I go, oh, wonderful and loving, and I allow myself to get ripped off because I didn't see the thief in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm projecting, I can project wonderful as well as terrible. But the essence of it is I take something that's inside of me, something that I usually don't want to deal with, and I make my brain's image of you out of it. That's projecting on you. Now, the next step, once I've projected that, is I externalize it and try to convince you that my reality is true about you.
Okay.
When, in fact, my reality is only true about me.
Absolutely. Has nothing to do with the other person. I'm sure you're going to get into actuality, right?
Yes. Well, actuality is the marker. I mean, there's a physical marker in my hand.
Right,
but
okay.
Everybody in the room has a different reality. So recognize that every interaction you have in the world is a new actuality, but if you live out of the realities of the past, then you keep playing the same games over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The idea with forgiveness is to put an end to playing the same games over and over and over again. And you can't do that until you remove the content of your brain cell structure. You can't do that until you remove the source of your projection. The source of your projection is always inside of you. So again, in Aramaic, you wouldn't be invited to forgive another. You'd be handed a tool which you should go inside yourself and remove your painful experiences. If you don't ever do that, then it is guaranteed. You just need to put two people in a room long enough, and sooner or later they're going to step on each other's realities.
Mm-hmm.
And if I step on your painful reality and you don't know it's yours, you blame me for it, you whack me for it, and now our relationship is over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the standard, you know, once people get three or four of those kinds of relationship experiences, you know, Jesus Christ himself could show up to go into a relationship with a woman, and all he'd have to do is turn his head the wrong way to match one of those old realities, and all of a sudden he'd be the bad guy. He'd get verbally, emotionally, physically, mentally abused and thrown out.
Okay. Okay, question. So in terms of forgiveness, so I will be clear. I appreciate you were saying I'm not forgiving myself. Would this be an accurate statement? I'm actually forgiving the mind energy or the thoughts that created that situation or that reality in the first place. Would that be an accurate? So I'm just healing what is going on in my thinking mind. Would that be an accurate?
Okay. Yes. You're healing. There's several impacts when you put mind energy into this system. One, if it's of a disintegrative quality, there are two qualities. There's integrative, disintegrative. There's that which builds tissue up and that which tears tissue down. If I put disintegrated mind energy into my structure, then I begin the disintegration of the tissue that's stored in.
Okay.
Secondly, it is literally the energy that radiates out. I had the privilege about 20 years ago of doing some work with a gentleman named Marcel Vogel, who was a 23-year senior scientist from IBM. Marcel had the instrumentation in the laboratory with which to take a picture of the high-energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. The mind functions throughout the whole body, and where I hold particular mind energy, I literally set up a resonating energy field that invites somebody in to do that to me again and again and again until, instead of projecting and blaming them, I stop and go, you know, some guy named Michael Rice said The realities that show up in your mind tell you more about the contents of your mind than the world you think you're looking at. I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe I need to look into myself and remove this so I can stop playing this game with everyone else. Now, you can sort of document whether anybody's ever played this game with you. Have you ever had somebody accuse you of saying something you've never said, of doing something you absolutely did not do?
Sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I ask that question in the classroom, I say, okay, folks, now hold your hand up. If you've been accused, okay, and everybody in the room, of course, holds their hand up. And I say, now, when I get to your number, tell me, or pardon me, drop your hand while I get to how many times it's happening. It's happened once, twice, three, four, five, ten, infinity. By that time, everybody's roaring because it's happened over and over and over again for everybody. So the next question is, does that mean everybody that's ever accused you of those things is a liar? No, they're not liars. When you accuse somebody else, you weren't lying to them, even though it didn't happen. Pardon me. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Excuse me. I got something caught my throat here.
Okay. Want to get some
so,
water?
So when I – well, I'm actually sitting in the car right now.
Okay.
So we're on the road traveling. So when I project the contents of my mind into my brain's image of you – I accuse you. I'm not lying to you. I heard you say the words, even though in actuality the words didn't come out of your mouth. Because once you triggered those brain cells in me, the you that showed up in my mind, the picture that showed up in my mind, said the words that came from my brain cells, even though you didn't say it. All these people that do this, or you or I, are not lying. We're telling the truth about what we've seen. We just haven't seen what happened. We saw what happened in our own brain cell structure.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the power of the human mind. Imagine you're sitting at a computer and you type into the computer. I went to the beach this morning. I stood in the cool sand. I watched the dolphins dancing in the surf as the sun popped up out of the ocean. Now, imagine that when I type that into the computer, what shows up on the computer screen instead of words is me standing on the beach watching the dolphins swim and the sun come up. That'd be a pretty powerful computer, wouldn't it?
It would,
yeah.
You've got one.
Wow.
It's called the human mind. All you have to do is put mind energy into that mind, and that mind will turn that mind energy into the world you see.
Wow.
And it's the world you experience, and it never happened anywhere except between your ears. And there's the problem in relationships. And, you know, when you tie this back, when you start recognizing these are all energy dynamics, I love Einstein's quote that says, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Matter doesn't exist. Your so-called body is a dynamic energy system. And if you put energies like anger and hate and fear and rage and grief and pain into your tissue structure, you begin the disease process in the tissue structure. And that is one of the major reasons why pleasure disappears in intimacy and relationship. Because if in relationship I have and I don't even actually ever have to have had the experience. All I have to do is have relationship trauma in my genetics.
Mm.
And I'll interact with somebody. They'll turn their head the way my brain interprets as trauma and pain. And they may be turning their head to say, gee, sweetheart, how are you doing? What can I do for you today? But what I project is, uh-oh, here comes the attack. And I'll hear attack words come out of their mouths. I literally, the brain hears. The ear does not hear. The brain hears. My brain will feed me the words of attack that I'm expecting. And if that energy is in my genetics, and let's say that it's in the process of me being in an intimate situation with someone, then I will tend to store that energy in the intimate parts of my body. If I store enough of that energy in the intimate parts of my body, guess what? I cut off the function of that tissue. Pleasure becomes really difficult if there's a lot of rage and hatred and pain in the genitals, which is a part of the mind. And until that's forgiven, until you remove that, there can't be proper function of that tissue.
Wow.
And forgiveness is the process by which we remove that.
Correctly. Forgiveness is the way that you go inside yourself and remove the energies that do not belong. They are not about, I'm going to let you off the hook because these energies are in me, and here I am having it done to me again.
Could you, you know, we were reading a definition of, tell us, what is forgiveness? We were reading
forgiveness?
That, yeah, talk a little bit, what is forgiveness? What does that mean to forgive?
Forgiveness is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
With which you reach inside yourself and remove what does not belong there. By example, forgiveness in relationship to a computer would be, let's say that I have in my computer 2 plus 2 equals 5. Let's say it's been misprogrammed. And every time I do a calculation that involves 2 plus 2, I come up with an incorrect answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I sit there and go, oh, computer, you made a mistake, but it's okay, I'll forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, computer, you made a mistake again, it's okay, I'll forgive you. Oh, computer, you've done it again, the wrong calculation, I'll forgive you. It doesn't do anything to change, the content of the computer.
Right.
Forgiveness, in that example would be, I know how to program the computer, I go in and I remove the error, 2 plus 2 equals 5, and I replace it with 2 plus 2 equals 4. And now, every time I push 2 plus 2 equals, I get 4. It's corrected. So forgiveness is the corrective process of going inside yourself and removing everything that never belonged in a human energy system. What are the things that don't belong in a human energy system? Rage, fear, anger, guilt, pain, trauma, drama, sadness, grief, rage.
Wow.
There are things. Jealousy. They're energies that are destructive to the tissue that they're stored in and destructive in the relationships in which they're used.
Okay. Could you give us a process by which we can do this? Let's say I am, you know, you just like really made me really angry and really upset. Okay. I mean, first of all, I have to recognize it wasn't Michael didn't do this. You put me in touch with something that is already within me. The anger was there before you pushed my button. What would be the process? What would you say for me to do to heal my anger? Go ahead.
Well, the first thing you have to do in order for your mind to generate accurate realities is you have to language accurately.
Mm.
Inaccurate languaging says, you made me angry. The minute that I say you made me angry, here's what happens inside my mind. That instruction goes to my unconscious and says, hey, unconscious, I have a reality in my mind, and that reality is anger, but please show me that Ethel is the cause of it.
Mm.
And now my mind will hallucinate a whole reality, a whole world in which you become the cause of my anger. And I do not even recognize this is the 87th different time with 42 different people that I've been through that quality of anger. Now, the minute that I start to shift my language into, you know, Michael, tell me how to deal with that situation where you say something and my anger comes up and I recognize I have anger and I want to work through it. And so the more accurately we language, the more accurately our minds are able to show us the truth. And the forgiveness process, what kind of time frame do we have here?
It's 5:30, so we have until about 5 minutes to 6, so we got about
25 minutes.
About 25 more minutes, because we want to kind of wind up about 5 or 10 minutes before the end of the show.
Okay, well, I have two thoughts. One is we could go into the forgiveness process, and that would pretty much consume the rest of the time that we would have. And it's not an easy process to convey verbally like this.
Okay.
So, and we had talked about getting into some of the codependence dynamics.
Absolutely,
So I'm wondering if it might be better. Chapter 24 of my book, actually my whole book, is available on my website. People can go to the website they can download the Reality Management Worksheet and the new Chapter 24 from the book, and it tells exactly how forgiveness works and what to do with it. And so my thought would be that our time might be better spent to let people go and do that on whyagain.com,
okay,
and for us to get into the codependence dynamic.
Perfect.
So that we can start to look through that one.
Love it.
Yes.
That makes sense?
That's perfect.
Just to short form it, the forgiveness process, in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it literally means to cancel. And the way that our minds generate realities about objects of attention is that we have to have a goal for that object of attention. Let's imagine that we've got a lineup with 100 kids in front of us, and of course one of them is our grandson. And we hold, of course, a goal that he'll be shining and bright and, you know, just be one of the most outstanding kids in the line of 100 kids. Now, 99 of those kids can fall out of line and do silly things, and we go, so what? But the one that I'm disturbed about, if he falls out of line and does something silly, is the one I hold the goal for to be perfect. I generate my realities based upon the goals I hold for whoever I'm looking at. So I don't even notice kid number 1, 2, 3, 4, 99, and 100 when they fall out of line. But if my grandson makes one wrong move, bang, there I am. Why? Because I hold a goal for him.
Mm.
And in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it has to do with canceling goals.
Okay.
The way you get to the pain that's underneath a particular situation, if you look at the goal that you hold in that situation and you cancel that goal. When you cancel that goal, the mind collapses its projection. Then you can look deeper into your own unconscious and see what needs to be dealt with.
Mm.
That, in its shortest form, is the essence of forgiveness.
Okay.
So if I'm upset because my grandson, you know, did something silly in line and I'm like, oh, embarrassed and, oh, God, look at this, that's terrible, then the minute that I cancel my goal for my grandson to act appropriately in that line, I all of a sudden drop my attention on him and I'm able to look inside at what part of me produces this embarrassment.
Yeah.
And this fear about not looking good.
Okay.
And then I get to process and remove that information. That's forgiveness in regard to my grandson.
Love.
My grandson, there's nothing for me to forgive him for. He's going to do what he's going to do. If he acts like the silliest ass in the world, and I'm in embarrassment and trauma about it, I need to be applying forgiveness to my embarrassment and trauma.
Okay.
The way I do that is to take my attention off of him, and I cancel my goal for him to be perfect.
Wonderful.
In that lineup.
Just one quick thing and then go to the... So it appears that with the forgiveness, and I certainly agree, read it in the book, but anyway, it appears that once we just acknowledge that I am doing this to myself, if you will, it's kind of with that acknowledgement, the forgiveness process seems to start there. And is that kind of correct, just kind of the acknowledgement?
Right.
Okay.
Right. The ownership of it is the starting point,
but
it's not by any chance the finishing. That's like you're at the bottom of Mount Everest, and now you've taken the first 10 steps. You still have 28,000 feet to go.
Okay, got it.
That's not the finish of it, but that is definitely the start of it, acknowledgement and the ownership of the painful reality that I'm ready to let go of and be done with.
All right. On the codependent.
And if I don't ever do that, then what I'm going to tend to do is keep everything I never wanted to deal with hidden inside of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as everything I never wanted to deal with is hidden inside of my mind, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to tend to form relationships with people who have what I like to call matching bags of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships between people with matching bags of garbage in the world are called love relationships.
Love?
Love.
Okay.
Because unconsciously, we know what it is we need to be doing and healing, we will be attracted to someone who can show us that part of our minds.
Oh.
And when they do, if we're in codependence, we'll just play out the dynamics that we acquired from our power person. And our power person is a person in our lives, usually either mom or dad, though not always, and we can have more than one power person. But a power person is somebody who had more power over my life at some stage than I did. And I thought it was survival to do what they wanted me to do in order to survive. I thought it was a real core survival issue. And that's usually the 1, 2, 3, 4-year-old child. And so that power person has certain behaviors, and you can kind of just take a look at what runs your life. Most people's lives are run by the dynamics that come from relationship with their power person. And what that means is that, in essence, for most people, there are really only three behaviors possible for them. And the behaviors they do are kind of like automatic pilot. You know, if you've ever said to yourself, well, boy, I'm never going to do that again. I'm finished with that behavior. I realize that one doesn't work. And how many have found themselves doing it again?
Yes.
And again, and again, and again, and again.
And again, yes.
Because until you go in and forgive, remove that content, that reality is going to drive your behavior. You don't have a choice about it. In fact, this is one of the oldest problems on the planet. You might remember a guy named Paul about 2,000 years ago who said, why is it the things I would do? Remember Paul did this beautiful writing about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Just wonderful. But in the last analysis, what does Paul say? Why is it the things I would do, I cannot do?
Yes.
And the things I would not do are what I do. He had not a clue about forgiveness. He didn't know how to empty the content of his own mind, so he was run by it. And he screwed up millions of people in the process down through the years. Millions.
Wow.
Because he didn't know what Yeshua taught. And Yeshua, by the way, is the man popularly known as Jesus. His name was not Jesus, the copy of a Greek god, a junior Greek god. His name was Yeshua. And Paul did not know what he taught about forgiveness, so Paul did not know how to empty his own mind of the power person dynamics that he had in his world, and so it ran him every time he got stressed. When there was no stress, oh, sweet, wonderful, love is patient, love is kind. Let the stress start to build, and stress builds when people frustrate your goals for them. Now, just take a look at your life, in relationship, in work, in with the neighbors, whatever, and notice that when there's no stress, the behavior you do is what you did to get along with your power person.
Would you say that again, Michael?
Yes. Notice that when there's no stress in your life, the behaviors that you generally tend to do are the behaviors that you did to get along with your power person.
Okay.
Hmm.
When stress starts to build, notice that what you do is you shift out of that and you go into whatever you did to resist or survive with your power person. And when you become ultra-stressed, you will do the behaviors that your power person did that you absolutely hated the most.
Wow.
And you'll kick yourself for it. And there's no choice about that until you remove the content from brain cells. It's survival. That's how the mind reads it. And it's all based on how much stress is going on inside of us. I do a workshop called Getting the Stress You Need. And it shows people exactly how stress is created and exactly how to remove the stresses that don't belong. And once you're able to manage your stress, you will have greater and greater contact and control over your behavior. Once you learn how to forgive, you'll remove the behaviors that drive your life against your own will and choice. And then you get to start to be in charge of your life and your relationships. Otherwise, you meet somebody, you know, in terms of relationship, you meet somebody, oh, they're wonderful, they think I'm wonderful, isn't this great, and we roll along and everything is just fabulous. until there's enough stress in the relationship that all of a sudden an old power person dynamic comes in. And all of a sudden, he starts to talk to me like, hey, who are you talking to? It's like you don't even know who I am. What are you doing? And that's when the power person dynamic is kicked in. And that will generally tend to kick in my power person dynamic. And now what we have are two people who are no longer in relationship with each other. They're back directly in relationship with their power person.
Wow.
They're still trying to work out the power person dynamics one more time. And this has been going on for 1,000 generations.
Wow.
And the healing of that comes when we can step into the active presence of love in the middle of our power person dynamic. Now, what is the active presence of love? The question I ask at the beginning of my workshops is, how many here have ever held a newborn child? You know, a number of people will hold their hands up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you describe for me the essence of that newborn child? And I don't care where I've asked that question on the planet, the answer is always the same. The essence of the newborn is love. That's the stuff. Everybody's answer is the same. Everybody, everywhere, has exactly the same answer. It's always some variation on the theme of love. Why? Because that's our essential nature as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That love is human life. Now, if I ask you, have you ever done anything you regret? And you say yes, and I ask you to go back and think about a time when you did something that you regretted, I guarantee that if I ask you what you were feeling when you did that, your answer will not be love. It'll be something based in either hostility or fear.
Mm-hmm.
And hostility or fear make us stupid, take us out of choice. Because we've given up human life and human intelligence, and we're now running like a robot and a computer. Once we go into hostility or fear, we cut human life out of the human system. And in so doing, we cut ourselves off literally from life itself. And the place where we tend to do that is in our relationships. That's where our codependence work and our healing through relationships work and our forgiveness work is about using in the context of relationship to give people the opportunity to start to address the energies that are locked into tissue, oftentimes in relationships, into intimate tissue, and makes that intimate tissue dysfunctional. Whether, you know, with the topic of your book, whether it's a female who has trouble with orgasms, or, you know, you take a look and how many millions of men have what they're calling erectile dysfunction. It's the same thing. It's the presence of hostility and fear in the part of the mind called the genitals and the part of the brain related to the genitals. The most important sex organ is the brain.
That
and if it's linked, if it's linked to hostility or fear, and we have hostility or fear active in our relationship, active in the relationship, that tissue will not function properly. And the delight and the joy and the aliveness and the pleasure of intimacy will not be available. It won't flow through the body because those energetic blocks are there, and there's no partner to forgive for that. There's no power person to forgive for that. There's nobody to forgive for that. There's the work of going inside yourself and forgiving the energies that lock that tissue up. And it's the same with any disorder in the body. I don't care if it's the lung, the heart, the liver, the brain, or the big toe. If there's an energy there that doesn't belong there, the tissue there is going to dysfunction. Now, you can try and drug the hell out of it all you want. You're not going to bring that tissue back to function with another poison. It's just not going to happen. You're going to bring that tissue back to function. You know, people talk about, in our culture, they talk about heart attacks. That is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of. Your heart attacked you. Really? That's interesting. Do you think it might be that you've spent years and years and years and years attacking your heart, and it is finally broken down?
I love
you. You know, we are the only creature on planet Earth that dies by the clock. Did you know that? The biggest killer in America is heart disease. And you know when most people have their first heart attack?
Monday morning.
9 o'clock on Monday morning.
Yep.
I think I
read it. It's statistically true. Why? Because that's the place where we go into our fear and our rage and our selling our souls for a buck.
Wow.
Doing we hate doing. And when you attack your heart that way, sooner or later, it's going to break down. And they'll say, oh, he died of a heart attack. No, he didn't die of a heart attack. He died of having given up his purpose and sold his soul and was enraged at himself every Monday morning at 9 o'clock until Friday at 5. And drank himself silly from 9 from Monday morning till Thursday night or Friday night just to be able to handle it. He destroyed his heart with his own behavior. There's no heart attack.
True.
And there's no drug that can fix a heart for that. You have to take responsibility for what's going on in your tissue structure, and you have to remove it. And that's called forgiveness.
I so love that because, you know, the reason I love that is because that is something people can really resonate with, And I find that to be so empowering that I am the one that's putting this disintegrative energy into mice, and since I'm the one that's doing it, I can reshift that. I think we're not going to get into it, but it's where you were talking about the aging process, of all the dynamics, of all the hostilities, the anger, and all that we put into our physiology. And what you were essentially saying, you know, we do that, and by removing that, we could move into the youthing process. Now, like I say, it's on a purpose, the purpose of your life, I believe. Everybody should watch that because it's remarkable. But that's just empowering. That's my point to that. That is very empowering, and it's something that we can all resonate with.
That is so
good.
And let me just jump in here for a minute. Michael,
sure.
Are you willing to take a call?
I am, but let me throw out a thought here first, and that is that while I'm still thinking about it, if anybody wants to download the how-to of forgiveness, go to my website, which is www.whyagain.com. Whyagain.com. Or you can just type Michael Rice, R-Y-C-E, into your web browser, and we'll come up on the list, and you can click there. On the right-hand side, go to Download Worksheets, and then you'll see the new Chapter 24. You can just click on that and download a PDF of it. You can actually download the whole book also. And
New Chapter 24, that's for the Why Is This Happening to Me Again book?
Right. I've written a new chapter 24. It's been edited. I'm actually in the process of rewriting the book. And so we put the new chapter 24 on the website with new and deeper instructions on the forgiveness process if somebody wants to get them.
Okay, good.
So you have a question for us. And that video, we've actually got a dozen different videos. Why is this happening to me again? You spoke about the getting the stress you need and purpose, personal power, and commitment. They're all different videos that we have of two-hour live workshops that people can go to the website and get.
Okay. Well, we've got two questions here. Let me just see if we can get one of them on, and then we'll take the other. Okay. Caller, 468.
Yes. Am I on?
Hi, how are you?
Yes, you're on.
I'm all right. I just have so many questions for you.
Okay, can we just take one?
Okay, you mentioned removing stress when it does not belong. When does it belong? What do you mean when it does not belong? Does stress ever belong?
Well, it's interesting. In our culture, stress has been given a bad name. But you know something? Without stress, you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have the stress of thirst, you wouldn't drink. You'd dehydrate and you'd blow away. If you sat on a tack and you didn't have the stress of that tack in your tush, you get an infection and you die from the infection. Stress is an absolutely your best friend. When it becomes a problem is when you get involved in stresses that are destructive. You need stress to get out of bed in the morning. You need stress to sit down and eat. The stress of hunger causes you to eat. And the way that you create stress is by setting a goal. So if I set a goal that I'm going to get to the office by 9 o'clock, my mind is going to respond to that stress. The functioning purpose of the human mind is to show behaviors with which stress can be reduced. So if I decide I need to be at the office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, then what my mind is going to do is it's going to show me all the things I need to do. Oh, gee, I know I need to be dressed a certain way.
Do I have a clean suit? Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to have to get my suit pressed. All right, do I have some clean shirts? Do I have where's the keys? Is there gas in the car? All those things are going to be taken care of in response to the goal of being at the office by 9 o'clock. That's all a response to stress and absolutely necessary. Without it, you couldn't get anything done. However, when I set a goal for, you know, my neighbor should be doing this and this and this and this for me, all of a sudden, I now create stresses, and my neighbor isn't even aware of the goals I have for him, and he cares less. He's not going to do the behaviors I want him to do. But those goals that I've set, if they access my hostility and fear, here I am now in a stew of my own hostility and my fear, and my neighbor doesn't even know it.
Absolutely. Okay.
And I think I'm stressed at my neighbor because if they'd only done it, they should have, and why didn't they? And my stress has all got to do with the goal that I held for my neighbor. You know, I got 10 other neighbors, and none of them hold that goal for that neighbor, and none of them are stressed about what that neighbor does. I create the stresses that I experience, and my mind tries to show me how to alleviate the pressure of that stress by showing me behaviors with which to reduce my stress.
All right.
If I load a goal in my mind that links me to some form of hostility or fear, I now get locked in a cycle of being able to find a behavior with which to reduce my stress.
All right. Wow. That's
so my workshop, getting the stress you need, shows you precisely how stress is created. There's a worksheet process for precisely how to create stress and how to alleviate stress. The ones that don't matter and the ones you don't need, get rid of them. Create the kind that serve you. And when you create the kind that serve you, then all is well. If you hold, well, you know, those kids have to be ready and we have to be out the door by 8:45 as a more important goal than a loving, gentle, respectful relationship with your children, if the children dawdle and they're late and you're stressed because of that goal and you become ultra-stressed, you'll go back to your power person behavior. And if what your power person did to get you to move was rage, you'll rage at your kids in order to get them out the door at 8:45. And you'll destroy your relationship with your children because you held that goal. Your goal, first and foremost, wants to be a positive, loving, gentle relationship with my children where communication is open.
All right.
And when I hold that as the goal, then my mind will show me how to create that instead of the other. And forgiveness shows you how to reduce your stresses. But stress is an absolute necessity. It is your best friend.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, caller, so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
hey,
thank
can
you.
Can we take another call?
Yeah, we're going to take one more quickie.
It's got to be, yeah.
Okay, hello, caller 942.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I wasn't really calling for a question. I just wanted to comment in regards to what the doctor is saying. I pretty much believe I'm living proof of what he's saying because throughout this year, basically in the summertime, I was going through a lot of stressful situations, and I was doing exactly what you're saying not to do. You know, I'm thinking I have to pay this bill, and I have to pay that bill, and I have to get this taken care of and that taken care of. And finally, I started releasing those things. And it's like I was amazed bill collectors wasn't calling. And, I mean, right down to getting to work on time. You know, I'm waking up. The moment I wake up, I'm thinking I have to get up. I have to take a shower. I have to get on the road. I got to make sure I'm out the door by this time. So naturally, during my drive that's supposed to be comfortable and relaxing on the way to work, I'm stressing over, okay, make sure I'm doing the speed limit. Make sure there's no police. And I'm learning that the more you just let it flow and go with the flow, because no matter what, I'm going to get to work on time. But once I start stressing over how am I going to get there, then you get to work, and then you realize, okay, you might have left something at home or in the car. And I'm just like basically calling the state that everything you're saying is so true. The stresses that we have out here, we create them.
Wow.
The bill collectors are not creating them.
Yeah.
The school work, they're not creating that, because like one thing I know, no one can create in your experience. This is
right.
your experience,
all,
your time.
Thank
it's
you
all
so
an inside job.
Caller.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And I just really, like I say, I'm living proof that lately I have been completely stress-free. I'm enjoying life. I can leave out my house at 7:15, and I live 30 minutes away and still get home, get to work.
Tell you what, let's
all right.
Let's
thank
make,
you so much.
Cool.
For
right.
Thank
you.
Really appreciate it. We are kind of running out of time here, but really, I love that call. Thank you so much, Carl.
No problem.
Okay. Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All righty. I guess we are kind of winding down here.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes. And
yeah.
It has been most enjoyable.
You know you're going to have to come back on our show. You do know that, right?
Of course. We're always available.
Listen, I'm going to keep you, hold you up on that because I have an idea. I'm not going to get into it now, but I will probably email you and Jeannie in regard to that. But I just want to say, I mean, I can't tell you how much we appreciate your being here. I'm just really excited about this. So we will be in touch with you. We will get you back on. And what we want you to keep in mind, if you have questions for Michael, you can email me at livingfromwithin2@yahoo.com. That's livingfromwithin2@yahoo.com. I also encourage, and we will be talking about this on next week's show, you really want to go and download this information that Michael is talking about. This book is phenomenal. Why is this happening to me again? His CDs. And also next week, we're going to have a person who participated in one of your intensives, Michael. And we're going to have her to share that.
Wonderful. Tell her I said hello.
I will.
I take it that's going to be Adlaine?
That is going to be Adlaine. And So we're looking forward to it because I do want everybody to know the work that you're doing. This forgiveness thing is more than a notion. I mean, we just got to learn to do that. So we are encouraging that. You say you want to teach forgiveness to every mind on the planet, Michael. Is that your goal?
And that's our commitment, every mind, heart, and being on the planet.
There you go. So we're going to work with you on that. And let me just tell you a little bit about next week's show. We're going to be talking about forgiveness and the law of attraction. We're going to kind of just be talking about decluttering our thinking mind, getting that clutter. It's a mental house cleaning. That's what we're kind of building this show as. So we want you to listen to that, and we will be talking about some forgiveness, and we hope you will go on and download the book and read that because it's an invaluable tool, I can tell you that. Ruby, is there something else you want to add to this?
No, I just want to say thanks again to Michael. You have been just so helpful to me as well as I know our listening audience. So I was just even taking some notes there today. So I've just truly, truly gotten much, much clearer on some things today. So thank you so much. And that's pretty much, we've got about 2 minutes remaining.
Where are you guys traveling to? Didn't mean to cut you off, Ruby. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Where are you guys traveling to, Michael?
I think he hung up.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he did. Yep, he's gone.
Okay.
We still got 2 minutes, and well, really now 1 minute. But that was so enlightening for me. I am so glad that he was on.
Absolutely, as am I. I really appreciate that, and we're just going to kind of dovetail off of this next week. I was saying to Ruba that one of the things that we want here is we want this to. This show can be a platform for self-discovery, and we can guarantee you that you will know how to do, like this mental house cleaning. It's one thing about when we get all this garbage out of our head, the love who we truly are, our essence is love, and the essence of who we truly are will come automatically, but it can't shine through because we got this anger, we got this criticism, we got the jealousy, we got the guilt. We got
all of those things that he mentioned that don't belong. What he said, that don't belong within a human system.
Exactly. They do not belong in the human system. So we're going to tell you how to clean that out. We all have a human system. We're going to tell you how to clean that out. So you don't want to miss this show next weekend. We are going to be working with Michael to get some more things from him. So, I mean, I'm sure we all enjoyed that. So given that, I think we just got just a few more seconds to go here.
Yeah, we've got about half a minute, so we will just wind on down, and we can give our email address again. It's livingfromwithin2@yahoo.com, as well as what else did we want to show?
Well, you know, I do want to take a moment to take the callers. We just called those who called in. These were excellent questions. So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out, because what you have to say impacts all of us. So I think we just really all want to
that's it. All right. See you next week. Okay. That's it.